Hi, welcome to another Expert Insights discussion. This is episode one of a three podcast series looking at the challenge of converting direct bookings, and with an overarching question: is it really a fight between hotels and OTAs? Seems a bit of an unfair fight if you ask me. Joining us to share their insights are Ishan Ben-Yebdri of UserGuest, Tina Markowitz of Sendine, and Shane Robbins of CloudBeds. We will explore how your hotel marketing and distribution strategy can make you more attractive. We look at how hoteliers can make their website more engaging and sticky. And we outline ways to convert those lookers into bookers. Today, in episode one, we focus on how your marketing and distribution could make you more attractive. Really hope you enjoy the conversation. Let's get started. Hello. Thanks, guys, for joining us. Really appreciate it. So today, we're going to look at how the increasing pace of digitalization, broader e-commerce experiences are changing the guest's expectation of the hotel booking experience, and how this could be impacting direct bookings negatively, but also, if you get it right, positively. So before we dive into that conversation, it'd be great if I could ask you guys to introduce yourself just briefly first and foremost. So let me hand it over. Ishan, if you could go first, that would be great. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Trevor. So it's Ishan, founder of UserGuest. We're the hotel website revenue booster. We have a concept very unique called Rev Marketing Automation. So the idea is to automatically match user booking intention with what the hotel is trying to sell in terms of inventory. And we provide a series of notifications and personalized incentives to push people to book directly.
Perfect. Thank you. And Tina, over to you.
Yep. So Tina Markowitz. So I oversee global digital strategy for Sendine, which is encompassing e-commerce, marketing, media, analytics, everything like that, and how we can help our customers use both our software and marketing tools to drive direct bookings.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. And last but certainly not least, Shane.
Yeah. So Shane Robbins, Director of Product Marketing for CloudBeds. We're a unified hospitality platform focusing on delighting guests, increasing revenue, and streamlining the operations, offering tools and services that are fully integrated, such as PMS, Channel Manager, Booking Engine, and then digital marketing, payments, guest communications, all to really help independent hoteliers drive more reservations and increase their happiness of their guests.
Perfect. So hopefully then, people can now understand why you guys are sitting here having this conversation. You are right in that space. So, let me just pose you guys, before we dig into it, and we're going to look at it from, you know, almost if I was a hotelier, what are maybe some of the things I should be doing. But I just want to pose a question first of all, because often when we look at the direct bookings, and there's a lot written about it, and sometimes it's framed as, you know, win the war against the OTAs, drive direct bookings, you know, get more direct bookings, don't be paying the massive commissions to the OTAs. And I kind of understand where that's coming from. But to talk about winning the war against the OTA kind of feels a little bit disingenuous. I mean, if I was an independent hotel or a small group of hotels, I mean, really, there's no way I'm competing with the likes of Expedia or Booking.com with the bookings that they have. And I mean, OTAs can also be useful for hotels as well. I mean, is that fair? Is that naive of me to be thinking, you know, maybe we should be reframing this differently? What are your guys' thoughts?
I guess I'll go first. So I do think that it's really important to understand where OTAs fit in your distribution, you know, channels, and how to use them to your advantage. So maybe reframing as less about winning the war and more about how to live together in the same small space comfortably.
Yeah.
But you know, it's really for every hotel, it's understanding where can OTAs help, right? If it's a period of low occupancy, or if they are struggling, you know, on weekdays, maybe that's when you depend more heavily on an OTA strategy. But it is extremely important to be sure that you're doing everything you can to maximize direct bookings and to make it as easy as possible for users to book on your website. And these guys definitely can speak to all of the, you know, different strategies for increasing things like conversion rate. But, you know, I think that's really the most important is understanding for every independent hotel, doing everything you can to, you know, sort of simplify the journey for the consumer and then still understanding where OTAs play.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Shane? I'd say, you know, I'd almost reframe it. Say it's not a war against the OTAs. It's a war to win the booker. And so if you're looking at what bookers are going through today, McKinsey put out a report last year, 36 days and 45 touch points is what it takes for somebody to go from, I want to go somewhere to actually booking something. And they boomerang between your website, OTA websites, Google, mobile devices, desktop devices. But the booker journey isn't linear, right? It isn't, I just want to go to a travel service, book a trip, and I'm there. It is very complex and there's a lot of back and forth. And I think one of the things that we see a lot is, just like Tina said, your distribution strategy is really important, and making sure that you have the right visibility across the distribution channels and on your direct booking and really setting yourself up for success. And we'll get into it, I'm sure, on driving lookers, converting lookers to bookers on your own website. But a big part of that winning the booker is that visibility and understanding how to utilize your distribution strategy and your rate strategy to drive and convert that booker at the time. The time of interest.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Isham? Yeah, I think, well, the definitely not a best way to say it's not a war. They definitely need, the hotels need the OTAs, just a simple fact of the billboard effect.
Yeah.
So a big chunk of the traffic or organic traffic that goes to the website actually comes from people finding you on the OTAs, on the price comparison websites, the metas, and so on. So obviously you do need them at some point. If not, most of your traffic wouldn't even find you. They would have to first find the type, the full name of the hotel and Google search and so on. So I think definitely they need them. And I think it comes down to, it's not really a war, it's more about the profitability. I think what every hotel has a different challenge, different needs, like Tina was saying. So depending on obviously occupancy, the idea is not to leave any money on the table and how can it be as profitable as possible if high season, obviously, you think you can convert that, you get in enough traffic to be fully booked. Perfect. So that's the way to go. But the rest of the year, obviously you would need them and it's impossible to live without the OTA, just to do it in a way that's profitable for you, that you can, the hotel can survive on.
No, that makes a lot of sense. So we're maximizing conversions. We're turning the lookers into bookers and we're trying to do it in a profitable way. That seems sensible. I mean, that's a message that I would guess most hotels could buy into without them having to look at it and say, I need massive budgets, and I can't compete. So I mean, it's I think one of the things that I've looked at from the outside looking in is I never understand why it always seems to be made to seem so complicated. I mean, it doesn't seem like rocket science, and hopefully, as through this conversation, we can kind of dig into some elements of that, where we can say these are some simple things that we could be doing. So let's pick up then on the first point, which is making, I'm not going to talk about making our hotel attractive, but attracting people to us. So that's that kind of ties into our distribution strategy. But then I also want to link it a little bit into, because the next bit we want to talk on after that is then how do we engage them when they come to our site? So it's how do we attract them to our site? And then when they come, how do we ensure that we are an attractive proposition? And then after that, we can then look at, once we've got them and they find us attractive, how do we engage with them and take them through? So let's go back to the attractiveness part in our distribution strategy. Who wants to kick this one off? Who wants to take this discussion?
I don't mind going first for this one.
Go ahead.
So what you said before, competing against OTAs is the war and we don't have the hotels don't have the budgets and so on. That's a bit of a myth at the same time. So if you look at it from an Expedia booking perspective, they cover a million properties. Mm-hmm. Let's round it up to a million to make it easy. and we know how much they spent. Well, it's quite a, I think that's information available out there. They spend so much on the on Google search, for instance, a couple billion, let's put it, a year. So 2 billion. But then you have to divide that 2 billion by a million properties and then by 12.
Yeah.
So when you look at it at a property level, hotels can actually compete better for their own specific markets. And markets could be like a broad, specific markets could be a broad idea, but at least cover your own keywords, like very, there's basics that you need to cover. And always tell hotels, you don't need millions to compete against Expedia, just a couple thousand a month would do wonders for you. And you, you can actually start building a direct booking strategy and then build on that and do more and so on. So the idea of just doing the basics on, of digital marketing, you actually can compete against against Expedia and Booking just with a few, just covering your basics, Google search brand campaigns, very specific generic campaigns as well, keywords. So long tail keywords. There's like a couple strategies that hotels can implement fairly easily and actually win back quite a bit of bookings from hoteliers.
That's an interesting point, particularly when you look at those numbers as you break it down, it does suddenly come into viable budgets, doesn't it? Tina?
Yep.
So, I mean, I agree for sure. There's absolutely basic things that need to be done. When we think about how to make, you know, a property, a hotel more attractive to a user, I think that's probably the most important part, right? Is really thinking about it, you know, less from winning a war or anything like that, but really thinking about the person and how they're going to be experiencing this, you said 36 days, 45 touch points, 20 days, I have to remember it, jot it down. You know, because that to me is really the heart of the matter that sometimes hotels don't necessarily like fully appreciate is that as much as they can sort of plan and be here and be here, the user journey is very dynamic, and it, you know, you have to make sure that whether it's listings on the OTAs, they're as good as they possibly can be. They showcase the hotel. Your Google search is really talking about your value prop. What is going to compel someone to want to stay there when they happen to come across your hotel, anywhere it is, right? Social, same thing. You could, you know, have whole separate conversations about reviews and the power of reviews and you know, social commentary, things like that. And we're going to, I'm sure, spend a little bit more time on the website, right? But really, a lot of people's first interaction with a hotel is so important. And I think there's a lot more effort in some cases that can be time and energy spent on the website to really start to convert some of those users. When you think about it from a person who is experiencing this for the first time.
Yeah, that makes sense. And Shane?
Yeah, so I think, you know, when we look at it, we actually were doing a little bit of research last year at building your ideal channel mix and how do you really stand out and to attract those bookers. And a couple of things that we looked at was, one was optimizing your presence. And so when we talk about your keywords, your SEO, all the stuff will go onto the website and making yourself visible on Google and all these other OTAs, but really making sure you're present where people are searching. Part of that is in also looking at not just the big OTAs. There's a lot of alternative and niche channels that are more market specific or region specific or activity specific. As we saw more people during and post COVID going towards activity centric type of accommodations, alternative accommodations. So investing where those people now are, it's not just those big OTAs. There's a lot of niche and smaller OTAs that are catered to markets or activities. Knowing your competition, I think that's a big one we talk about, where you're competing for bookers in your location, right? In your property's comparison. And so understanding where your competitors are playing and what rates they're putting out there and where they're driving visibility to attract those bookers is really important. I think Tina mentioned online views, reviews, and reputation. Manage those. And that's really important not to forget about reputation management, because those show up a lot when people are looking for accommodations, TripAdvisor and the like. People read through those, and that does influence their booking behavior. And then when we get to the website piece, that's all about what I always say, watch, rinse, repeat, measure, analyze, refine, and understand where your traffic's coming from and understand, and we'll go through it a little bit later, how to make it better, how to make it more attractive. it's always an important piece to continue to look at that and figure out ways and strategies to make it better.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. And I mean, both of you have mentioned the website bit, so we'll pivot across to that in a moment, because I as a consumer, not someone on the tech side, it blows my mind. But we'll come to that bit in a minute. So in terms of any other points before we move to talk a bit more about the website and being attractive in that sense, anything, any other key headline throwaways, comments, last, you must do this in terms of just thinking very broadly about your distribution piece.
The only thing pricing.
Go ahead.
To add to what Shane was saying, one of the also to something to take into consideration is price parity, how you're pricing yourself. So whether it's versus your competition in the location or versus the OTA, that's also like key component to attracting people to your website. At the end of the day, it's the same product. Why would I spend a bit more elsewhere when I can spend less on X channel, whether it's the OTA or the hotel website? So I think that's the price element is very key. You see completely different conversions or just level of traffic changing, really volumes of traffic changing just when they adjust the price. Properties start adjusting the price versus OTAs or their comp set. Mm-hmm. That has a huge impact as well.
Shane, you were going to say something.
You know, I said the other piece that comes up a lot in conversation, we're talking about visibility. We hear a lot, oh, I'm on Google free booking links. I'm fine. I'm visible.
Right.
Well, actually, a report out from Hotel Direct Booking from last year, 85% of bookers never actually make it that far into Google free booking links. So just being on Google free booking links isn't enough to make you visible when people are looking. So there are more that you need to do in terms of your rates, your visibility, your distribution strategy. Google free booking links is not the answer to I've done it, it's done, and I can attract people.
Yeah, I think the rate piece is so important, right? Because and it's sort of the same thing as reviews. There is things that you can do. There are all of these different strategies and, you know, different channels and all sorts of different things. But I think this is almost where we started, right? There's basic things where if you have 2 stars on TripAdvisor, or if you're not, you know, if you're $50 more than every other property, it's over, right? Nobody's even getting to the next step. You're out of the game. And those things are really important, right? Because you can do all the greatest strategies or spend millions or billions of dollars. It really won't matter. So I think starting with those fundamentals is really the key.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. And I think, yeah, the price point is very interesting. You've seen it shift a bit. Maybe we'll touch on that a little bit later when we get into the website and then actually the conversion piece, because it always used to be about price and the price parity. But now the price seems to be in parity, but the OTAs are throwing other things in that necessarily the hotels aren't. So it's almost package parity rather than price parity. But maybe we'll come back and pick that up in a moment. So let's move on then into, okay, so we've got that. Oh, and just one final thought. To your point about, what was it you said, the Google, Shane, you said Google...
The Google free booking links, right. Okay. 85% of bookers aren't making it that far and that deep into hotel search for Google free booking links.
Just a quick follow-up question. How many times do you guys just see it where it's like the hotels have done it and left it kind of mentality? Okay, I'm there, I'm finished, maybe did it 2-3 years ago and just haven't gone back. It's just sitting there. I mean, is that me being a bit unfair to hoteliers, or,
no,
or do you see
I mean, honestly, think about it. Run if you're an owner operator of an independent business, an independent laundry business, it's tough. You've got a lot of things to do, right? And ultimately you want to attract people, but you want to make sure the people you have there are having a great time and come back. We all got into hospitality. We're hospitable. We like hospitality. You didn't get into it to make a website. You didn't get into it to be a direct marketing or digital marketing expert. And so I think what we see when we talk to a lot of independent owner operators, It is, yeah, I made a website. I'm on Google free booking links. I hope that's doing it for me. I'm okay with my business to some degree. I don't really know what more I can do. And so it's not so much a lack of interest. It is that a priority based on what you're doing? And since you've already kind of checked that box, and I think what we're all saying here is it is definitely a priority, but there are tips and tricks and tools to help you optimize that without having to spend a ton of time or being an expert in these fields.
Hisham, Tina, comment on that?
Yeah, I think, it comes down to technology adoption. And hoteliers are operators mostly. So they focus mainly operations, like Shane just said. And they don't come from that background. They typically, even within bigger, let's say, operations, let's say big hotels, the classic GM path is still F&B. Yeah. So now it's changing. Well, it's more revenue managers, more analytical people moving up the ladder. But mostly it's a lot of F&B, very operational driven people. So now you're asking some to switch completely and be tech experts in everything.
Yeah.
All marketing experts, tech, managing all these different platforms. There's so many different vendors out there, so many different technologies, whether it's RMS, PMS, direct booking tools, and so on. So there's so much out there. So it's kind of hard for them to, okay, you give it a go once when you have that bandwidth. Once in every 6 months, maybe you have to 2 weeks, you try little things, a few things here and there, and see whatever sticks. But I think it's mostly about how technology makes life easier, mm-hmm. and can really push them to adopt it. And if it's something that is extremely as automated as it can be, and I think a lot of tools are moving as much as possible towards being almost automated or fully automated.
Yeah.
Also, I think Corona didn't help. The pandemic at all in terms of labor shortages and so on. So I think it's more moving in that direction. And hopefully that make it easier for hoteliers with better technology, easier to utilize. I think we'll get them there at some point.
That makes sense. And final comment, Tina, before we move to the website, please.
Yeah, I will say, I think it's human behavior to, when you have a million things to do the things that you're most familiar with, and in most cases for hotel owners and operators, it's not going into Google hotel ads and playing around with things. I will say, just from conversations, I do see a lot of them focus on media and marketing, on things like Meta, on things like brand search, more than, and I'm trying to set us up here for the next conversation, more than the website, to be honest, which is sometimes a little frustrating, because you, like I said, you can do things on the media side, and then people get to the website and they're like,
okay.
So I will give most of them the benefit of they focus on Meta and search when they have time, for the past couple of years.
That's an improvement then, anyway. as you say, you spend all this time and energy to bring people through, and then my biggest bugbear is I see this wonderful imagery everywhere else, and then I come to the website and it's like, is this the same hotel? So I'm not going to talk about it, because I have massive issues with it. I always wanted, it's funny, you guys spoke, I think Hisham, you said it, you use the OTAs. I use the OTAs for my research. That's it. I want to book direct. I always want to try and say to the hotel, don't pay a commission for my booking. I get it. I know how it works. I'll book direct with you. Just make it easy for me. And oh my goodness me, I have not made a single booking with a hotel direct in like the last 2-3 years, because I just get frustrated and end up going back to the OTA where I saw it, because the process is simpler. So that leads us into what do we do? I mean, what can we be doing with our website when we're now looking at that whole element of engaging, and then looking, we'll then get into the other part of then the converting. How do we take them through the process? But what do we do with them when they come to the site? What are the simple things we should be doing?
Well, I hope that conversation was of interest, and thanks again to Hisham, Tina, and Shane for joining us. If you have any thoughts or views on this discussion, please feel free to reach out. You can reach us via our social channels or you can email us via insights@revenue-hub.com. And if you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. And if you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.